Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. Of course, I want to hear from you, so give me a call. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Also, if you want to social network with me, you can, if you have Facebook, you can join the Smooth Drama group on Facebook. Once again, you can ask to get into the Smooth Drama group on Facebook, myself or Mr. J, he of the incredibly shiny head, will add you. Also, if you're afraid to call, questions, comments, concerns can be addressed to Smooth Drama at smoothdrama.com. Once again, questions, comments, concerns can be dropped off in smoothdrama at smoothdrama.com. Or if you're listening live, you can jump to the chat room. Or even better, something new, you guys will let me know. If you go to the Smooth Drama site, we have a chat room that about 10 minutes after the show, I'll be there till about 10 minutes after the show's over. Then I'll be out. And basically anywhere that you hit up or find Smooth Drama, add me, I'll add you back. We can talk about whatever. Because I'm open like that. And speaking of talking about something and being open, Kevin Durant. Oh, man. So, as most people know, Kevin Durant left the Golden State Warriors after winning a couple titles and blowing out his Achilles on the way to the third straight title. Now, I'm on record saying that, yeah, they did him dirty, right? The pressure that they put on him, even though he shouldn't have played, they put some pressure on him that made him feel like he had to play. You know, I've always said that was an inherent weak flaw, especially when we're talking about the guy who I consider the best player in the NBA. He had been the best player in the NBA for what, past 2-3 years now. It's not like there's nothing that he can't do or couldn't do, which was why, you know, it was a horror to the league that he went to Golden State. So now that he's left Golden State and went to the Brooklyn Nets, he started talking about how Brooklyn was the best destination for him. Said they didn't even talk to Brooklyn's front office. He just knew. He started talking about the motion offense we ran in Golden State. It only works to a certain point. We can totally rely on our system for maybe the first 2 rounds. Then I have to dive into my bag and create my own stuff so that I can create offense for me, not the offense of creating points for me. No, that sounds good, whatnot. Except for when he was in OKC, Oklahoma City. You know, when he left, he was talking about how they didn't play smart, they didn't play the right way, they didn't really run the offense. Now all of a sudden, he's in Brooklyn and Golden State didn't run the offense, and he had a problem with Steve Kerr's offense. Now, this is a dude that made the weakest move that a superstar has ever made. He went to a 73-win team that lost. They lost in game seven in the last second. And you went to that team and pretty much made them an unbeatable juggernaut. They were never challenged. There was never a time where anybody was like, oh, Golden State got a chance to lose. Everybody knew whoever showed up on the other side, Golden State was going to smack that ass. That's what it was. And the only time anybody had a chance was when, one, he got hurt and Klay Thompson got hurt. Because if Klay Thompson doesn't get hurt, I still believe they still come back and win it. But my point is, this is a dude, arguably at the time, you know, I believed he was the best player in the league. He went to the best team in the league that he couldn't beat them, so he just joined them. Weak move. Universally thought out, screamed about as a weak-ass move. Because there's been a lot of great rivalry. Jordan didn't beat the Pistons for like 3-4 years. Isaiah Thomas didn't beat Boston when he was playing for Detroit for like 2-3 years. I mean, it's one of those things where you pay your dues, you come back the next year, you add a little something, and you beat the monster. You don't go join the monster. Yeah, it's just a weak move. And he comes out now and says, oh, well, the offense wasn't good for me. It didn't really work past the first couple of rounds. Da 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 da. Looked like it was working just fine when you was out. And it worked just fine when you was winning them two championships. But hey, now you got what you asked for. You're in Brooklyn. You got your own team. And when you finally come back next season, you can silence all the doubters, all the haters. But as of now, I mean, it still looks weak. It's like just rehab, man. Stop talking. Rehab. Come back. Show everybody why you feel like you're the best player and why you're a big deal. Because, I mean, right now for me, yeah, you won a couple titles, but that team was on the track to win the title anyway. It would have been harder without you, but they were in the mix. They were the bully on the block. Before you got there, then they was really the bully. And so I'm Kevin Durant. Stop it. You can't complain about your team that you left not running the offense. Then you go to a team that run the offense and you say, ah, well, they run the offense, but I don't know. It's stop it. Just stop talking, man. Just rehab. Don't say nothing else about nobody else. I mean, he was talking about his old team, OKC. I'm not even going to get into that. It's like, why? Why? Let it go. You're in Brooklyn. You're rich. Enjoy life. Enjoy your rehab. Work hard. Do what you're going to do. Come back the next season and kick people's ass and take names. Stop talking. I can't hear you. I mean, I still got them weak moves in my eyes that you made, and then you sound even weaker when you're talking. But, hey, that's just me. I don't know. And speaking of other weak moves, I got to ask a question. And this is after the statement. So sheriff's deputies in North Carolina are unsure why a woman tied up her husband and castrated him. So Victoria Frabut, whatever the hell, doesn't matter, 56 years old, she was arrested on charges of, well, on a charge of malicious castration. I guess the officers arrived by 4 a.m. Her husband said she tied him up, pulled out a knife, and cut his dick off. Now, they say she's being held on a $100,000 bond, and they say that the motive for the castration is unclear. She's also being charged with kidnapping. I'm gonna ask this first. What is the difference between malicious castration and castration? I mean, you know, they say malicious castration, like there's a good castration, like, well, this is the kinder, gentler castration. This is the kind of castration that you use to make people feel good about themselves. No, I can't think of anybody saying, yeah, that's a positive castration. It's a gentler castration. Luckily, they found it, put it on ice, and, you know, I guess they sew it back on and whatnot. And it just begs the question. Because, and I'm not going to say that when we're talking about the racial Olympics that this is exclusively a white person's thing, but white people, y'all love to cut off dicks. I get there's the imperialist, colonial, I'm castrating you. I am, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here, where you take their manhood from them, cut their dick off. I mean, it was one of the things when they were hanging black men, they were cutting penises off. And you just wonder what. Emasculating, that's the word I was looking for, emasculation of the black man. But, you know, you hear, I mean, the Lorena Bobbitt, there was a dude in Florida who attacked his wife's lover, who he suspected was hooking up with his wife, and he attacked him, you know, held him by gunpoint, cut his dick off and ran off. Why? You know, and so I'll ask, why do you want to cut someone's penis off, anybody's penis off? The emasculation part, I'm just going to cut it off. I mean, is that it? Now, I'd be curious. Obviously, it would be a curious conversation. Like, hey, why? Aside from, okay, you caught him cheating, or you suspected him of cheating, whatnot. So, I cut his dick off. Don't people see? And this is that whole. We got the stalkers. We got these folks that just. They're just crazy and deranged. So, just breaking up, not an option. Nope. Mm-mm. I'm going to cut your dick off. See, it's like if a woman cheat on a man and he decide, I'm going to cut her clit off, or I'm going to cut your breasts off, or nipples. It's just some sick stuff, right? There's just nothing positive in that. What do you get out of that except for the opportunity to go to jail? Cutting dicks off. White people. and just people in general. So I'm sure there are some cases where there are some black folks, Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, maybe cut dick off, whatever. I just would counsel why. Please stop it. That's depressing. I probably should stop talking about this. I need to go on break. I'm going to go on break because I've depressed myself. This is Goody Mob. Soul food.
My old boy from the point, but I'm from Southwest. And every now and then I get put to the test. But I can't be stopped, cause I gotta talk to. Ain't got no gun, but I got my crew. Didn't talk for no beef, cause I don't eat steak. I gotta play the soul food, chicken, rice, and gravy. Not covered in too much, drinking a cup of wine. Top of cold every last Thursday of the
Daddy
month.
Put the high grits on my chest in the morning. When I was sick, Mary had the hot soup on it. Didn't know why, but it felt so good. Like some waffles in the morning, headed back to the woods. Now full of the shit, got some soul on blast and a cassette. Food for my brain to have it stop learning yet. I wish for mojos, got my forehead sweat. Celery and blue cheese on my menu list.
I'm about to get lost here. Top face tunes around me like cancer. Real, you were second hand off the coast. But only to me, got the first puff of getting killed by this pimp and his jacket from Optimus. Stabbing niggas, laughing, instead of clown, don't talk to me like that. Real food, of course, living day by day. And you ain't hard trick, hell you say.
It's such a blessing when my eyes get to see the sunrise. I'm ready to begin. Another chance to get further away from where I've been, but I never forget. Everything I went through, I appreciate the shit. Because if I had a winner, took the ease away, wouldn't be the strong nigga that I am today. Everything that I did, just the things I was told, that ended up being food for my soul.
Well, it's your soul. Well, it's your fashion soul.
Morning, where you eating at? I'm on 1365, Wichita Drive over with a stove ride. Since you dropping chicken in yesterday's grease, then go together with this part of niggas. Last night, hanging over from a good time. Yeah, beef is cheaper, but it's pork for red out between two pieces of bread. I started looking good with them hairy legs. Wish I could cut her up, but my stomach come from four eggs. A house full of holes. No, what's the ingredients? Spaghetti plus a muffin flow.
They know they're making it hard on the yard. Fuck Chris Darden. Fuck Marshall Claw, taking us when we in the spotlight for a joke. Changing by the day, I see it's getting bigger in my square. Looking at Lennox from the outside with the stairs. No money to go inside, Jamaica and Tiffany outside. Tripping and skipping rope to the beats of my cheeks. And I see a sword from the drum.
A heap of help on the fried chicken, macaroni and cheese. And collard greens too big for my jeans. Smoke steam from under the lid that's on the pot. Ain't never had a lot of thankful for the little that I got. Why not me? Fast food got cheese for the stick.
Well,
that
policy is what I write. And this lady acting like me in jail. Said she ain't got no extra hush puppies to sell. Baking she food, making me hit the door with a mind full of attitude. It was a line in the beautiful JJ's rib shack with pack two. Looking to be one of these days where mama ain't cooking. Everybody's out cutting with the family, looking for a little soul food.
Ain't get soul food. Well, then. Your passion soul food. All right. Everything is for free. As good as it can be. Come and get some soul food. Come and get some soul food.
Together you got the smooth drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Goody Mob, Soul Food. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right. So, Antonio Brown. Whew. Antonio Brown. I mean, he had already been on the crazy tip. Arriving in the hot air balloon. You know, the silliness over a helmet. Just all kinds of craziness. And then culminating with him losing $30 million guaranteed, getting his contract voided by the Raiders, who just let him go. And then he ends up signing with New England for $9 million guaranteed with $15 million salary 1 year. Still losing $21 million. Just craziness, right? I mean, if you're trying to get to New England, I get it. But you're losing $21 million off the top. It's just not smart. It's football. Because there's a shelf life in football. Now we can say, hey, brother then took a lot of hits. So for me, when I see and hear about football players and crazy stuff happening, I'm not really that shocked. I don't think anybody should be that shocked, right? Because it's a football player. They're in car wrecks every day, pretty much. That's what the research says. Your average football player is in a car wreck every day. That's what playing football is all about. So, you might have some brainstem loose. Anyway, comes to find out now, there is charges against him. He's been charged sexual assault. Now, I have to read the stuff that's happening. So he says he was engaged in a consensual relationship with a Brittany Taylor. And so the lawyer comes out and claims that his accuser approached him in 2017 and asked him to invest $1.6 million in the business venture shortly after he signed his contract when he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers that made him the highest paid receiver in the NFL. He refused the investment. She cut him off and then came back in 2018 with offer to train him, quote unquote, which means basically, hey, we can get back together. And so they were, according to him, in a consensual personal relationship, and everything was consensual. And so that's how it started. So here is what he's accused of. She says, and this is the crazy part, that he preyed on her weakness and used manipulation and false promises to lure her into his world. And once there, he sexually assaulted and raped her because apparently she was a devout Christian and, you know, she was religiously devoted. So in her lawsuit, she claims that during the training sessions in June 2017, he exposed himself and kissed her without her permission. Yeah, I mean, I've worked out. You know, I've had a trainer. I don't know about the whole exposing myself and kissing him, because most trainers kind of buff, and you know he's a big guy. She's a little gymnast. I guess he could have taken advantage of her. But I got to tell y'all. So later on in that month, she alleges that he started masturbating behind her and ejaculated on her back while she was watching a church telecast on her iPad. Now, I know. We could say it could happen. You know, most of the time, I would say 95% of the time in these situations, I err on the side of the victim. I understand that whole victim dynamic, whatnot. But the whole started masturbating behind her and ejaculated on her face. It's kind of hard. And so I would appeal to the ladies out there. It's kind of hard to ignore someone masturbating behind you while you're trying to watch church. I know you're praising him. You're praising me. When you're a devoted Christian and you're praising him, I guess you can lose sight of someone directly behind you masturbating. I guess I'd have to be religiously devout and concentrating hard on praising him to not notice a female behind me masturbating. She comes on my back. She just squirt on my back. Anyway. So. They have emails from Antonio Brown. Whew. They have emails from Antonio Brown. So. Antonio Brown, I'm just going to read it. I jacked my dick on your back. I slept with you in bed. Fuck your knowledge, bitch. I've been all pro before I even knew you. You hit me up online, bitch, crying. I didn't hit you up. You never left my house since you had hotel. You feel asleep on my couch. Fuck out of here, my baby mama. Trick your dumb ass. Blast me. You're a failure. Tell everybody you own the gym. What you gonna blast? Don't fucking write my phone. Lean bitch. Thought it was easy to get a come up. Using God, alias fake ass hoe. You and your mama thought y'all hoes had a come up. Fuck out of here. Don't write my team. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, I'm assuming that the majority of the people who listen to my show are grown. You've graduated from high school at the least. If you didn't, that's still, you know, most folks can articulate. So this is why you should learn to write, especially in this day and age, you know, that text. And this is the day and age where text-strong environment is out here. A lot of people text a lot, email, right? And being able to articulate your words or being smart enough to turn off your damn autocorrect is a must, right? Because I know what he was saying there. Most people know what he was saying there. He's saying, yeah, dumb hoe, you trying to get a come up. It's not going to happen. You know it was consensual. Why are you trying to play me? That's what that text says to me. But you see, the autocorrect and him not one being able to articulate himself in the American lexicon, use my big words, in the articulate himself in the American lexicon of writing, or just, and I implore anyone out there, one, if you're going to go at somebody, don't go at them on the phone, because they can record you. Two, please be able to express yourself. Don't write emails or anything like that, especially inarticulate emails and texts. Three, don't act crazy as hell in the public eye before something like this happens. See, because here's what more than likely going to happen. He's going to have to settle if he wants to play. Still going to lose some games. Still might get cut. Still might not get any money. But at the worst, he's going to pay a lot of money in lawyer fees. Now, most folks, if they're intelligent, hadn't been hit too many times. This is the whole football thing. Football players, loose brain stems, whatnot. Brain cells kind of scrambled. Smart one would have just settled. You know what? We just not going to let this go to court. Here you go. Bam. Just open up your gym. Because now she's going to open up that gym regardless. Like, she didn't own a gym before, but guess what, Antonio? She's going to get one now. See, because when you look at those, that email, tweets, however you want to call it, when you look at that, it looks like he's co-signing. Now, if you understand inarticulate Negroes, you know that he is saying, nah, fuck what you talking about. It's some bullshit. But that's not how white people, the judge, and the jury is going to take it. They're going to take it. Oh, yeah. He admits to it. I fuck you in the bed. Yeah. I came on you. I jacked off, masturbated. He says it. Now, we know it's sarcastic, but you don't read sarcasm in the email or text. You just don't. It just comes off that way. And so, as we know, white people are going to take you literally. I mean, we talked about there's a few rappers, rap snitches, telling all their business, sitting out here going to jail. Bobby Shmurda and I'm trying to think of his name, TK or something like that, KK, whatever. He went to jail because they're rapping about what they've done or what they want to do. And then when they get charged with it, they're playing their rap records in the court. And so this plays out for him. You go to court, they have this stuff that you've said, and you've prejudiced yourself to majority of the juries. Because one, you've been rather foolish in your public service announcements to the world and trying to get away from the Raiders. Everything you did is documented. So most folks have seen that. And the environment that we are in right now, y'all don't know. You may have noticed a slight twinge of heightened racism, blatant racism. See, the veiled racism that we kind of grew up with, it's like, nah, we just coming out with it. We putting our little teeny peckers on the table now. So right now, there's no real justice to, you know, for not that we had justice before, but now it's really stacked on against you as a non-white man. It's packed on you. I mean, for example, there's a judge who let a young white man off of rape because he was deemed high achieving. You know, white kid. Ian Malasky, 21-year-old hall assistant. He was arrested on August 29th after, you know, he tried to rape a girl. He did it. But they said he was high achieving, so he got off. So this is the environment. I mean, you know, if you're a white man that's high achieving, you can get off. You're a black man, not saying that Antonio Brown's not high achieving, but I mean, in the public eye, he's low achieving. Plus, you know, he's a football player, and he's had some things to say, like when he went off on that general manager for the Raiders, called him a cracker, and talked about Ben Roethlisberger, the quarterback, white quarterback of Pittsburgh Steelers, saying he had the slave owner's mentality. Can't say he would have been necessarily wrong, but those things work against you. When you're keeping it real, when you're in the public eye, and now something like this comes out. So you put all that stuff together, a jury of your peers, which is not going to be a whole, it's not going to be 12 inarticulate, non-texting black folks. It's going to be a bunch of people straight up and down who don't look like you, judging your fate, not understanding a word that you type there, but just looking at you as this angry black man who should be content. You should have been the coon who was content with your money, but you wasn't. You did all this craziness, and now it's going to come back to bite you. I mean, I hope he can get off. Right, you hate to see a brother go down for some foolishness. I mean, I hope that he didn't do it. Now, obviously, the charges sound ridiculous. You know, the charges sound ridiculous. But they could be true. They could be true. And if they are, or if they aren't, I mean, it doesn't really matter. He has poisoned the well against himself. I don't know how he's going to get out of this one. Because as far as public relations go, he has checked every box that subscribes to non-success in these endeavors. He has made sure that he has talked bad about white people. Check. With the Me Too movement going, him going against a woman and quote unquote empowered woman. Check. Trying to rape her, doing all kinds of vile things. It's not a good look. Not a good look at all. But hey, I hope you got some money saved up. I don't think you'll be getting paid anytime soon. On that note, I probably need to take some break. Well, not some break. I'm just going to take a break. This is Sean Price. Boombaye.
Shut the fuck up and record the shit, man. If I can't, then beat the shit out you, B. Hold up. Boombaye, Dink. Let's go.
Sean Price, Boombaye, yeah. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right. It's Groundhog Day time. Y'all know what it is.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
All right. So what's happened again? The obvious. NFL started. Kaepernick still ain't got a job. Kenny Stills, who got traded from the Miami Dolphins because he got into it with the owner because he was still kneeling, traded him to Houston. Well, the first thing he did was kneel. And, of course, pissed off everybody who was cheering for him. who started cheering for him again when he started hooping. You know how that goes. They hate you, even though they cheer for you when you score a touchdown. They still hate you. And last but not least, I still ain't watching the NFL. I know. My eyes don't matter to the NFL. They're the biggest thing in North America. You know, they say, oh, it's the biggest sport in the world. It's like, no, you're actually not. It's the biggest, it might be the biggest sport in North America, in America, but outside America, I ain't really talking about the NFL like that. They don't really play football outside of America. It's one of those things where, yeah, and as I see it, with the proliferation of flag football, whatnot, and the fact that we've got more and more cases of rattled brains with these kids and the injuries, whatnot, I don't know. I don't know. And the fact that you don't have guaranteed contracts, I don't know. I can see it going the wrong way for the NFL. Because kids stop playing it. You don't have the best athletes doing. I mean, for example, boxing. Boxing was number one, right? All of a sudden, everybody stopped boxing. At least all the best athletes, right? All of a sudden, boxing doesn't even have a designation in the sport in the top tier. So you go to ESPN or Sports Illustrated or any sports website. Boxing doesn't have they're a sub click. They're the drop down. They're on the drop down menu. They're not at the top no more. Boxing was the number one sport here in America. So people talk about the NFL and, oh, it's infallible, and it makes all this money, whatnot. We'll see. Because boxing used to make a lot of money for the people who were running boxing. And it still does, but the whole mainstream appeal of boxing has kind of died off. I can see that happening here. I mean, if you don't think so, I mean, you think about there are some institutions that people thought never was going to go anywhere, like newspapers and stuff like that. Internet kind of killed that. And I can see a lack of people playing football as the beginning of the end. But that's just me. I could be wrong. I've been wrong about hundreds of thousands of things. I know one thing I'm not going to be wrong about, though. There's a new movie coming out called The Joker. Hey, most people know who The Joker is. It's the serial killer, comic book character who is a Batman villain. And the Joker director, he issued a warning to comic book fans, like, hey, this is some, well, I'll quote him. I'll warn you, it's fucking bonkers. It's a rated R movie, and the Joker's a serial killer. He's killed many people in the comic books. His character is antisocial. Anti everything, mentally ill, obviously. Just a lunatic. But my point is the fact that they're doing a Joker standalone movie, which, as a longtime comic book guy, it's disturbing the trend that we've been on. So, for example, the so-called best that ever done it, Wolverine. Kind of anti-hero, right? He kills people. He's real good at killing people. But he's a good guy. Then we had, what, Deadpool? Deadpool was a mercenary. You know, he's funny. He's a good guy. Then you have Venom. Venom's an outer space parasite. The symbiote that attaches itself to your body and slowly kills you. It gives you amazing powers, but it kills you nonetheless. But you ride with that. It's the good guy. And so then I see the Joker movie, and I have no doubt. I mean, it won some independent award, film award in Toronto. So I have no doubt that it's probably going to do bonkers. It's going to do very well at the box office. But I'm still stuck on the fact that it's not the good guy. It's like we don't root for the good guy. We root for the bad guy. It's like the bad guy is the good guy now. Now, I'm for a great villain, right? A great villain is a villain that's justified, but it's flawed. There's a flaw in the argument there. Just enough to make them the bad guy. But you see, now I'm looking like it's a microcosm of society where we've gave the bad guy the power. We've made the bad guy popular. So now we don't have films where it's the good guy kicking the bad guy's ass. We lament the villain. So, I mean, you think about it. How cool was it when Thanos snapped his finger and killed half the universe? People were sad about their heroes dying. I remember in Infinity War, me and the homies, we're in the movie theater, and it's quiet. I mean, and I actually saw a few people crying. They shed tears for these imaginary characters. Never mind that he killed half the universe. And so they show him, he's broken down. You know, it's like, well, you're supposed to feel sorry for him. But I'm saying people, they cried for their heroes, whatnot, but it was like he killed half the universe, so he killed half the people on Earth. It was not a big deal. Now, obviously, this is fictitious, right? It's fictional. But I beg this question. We start talking about villains and the flaw in the argument, which makes them a great villain, which now they carry the movie, and thus you kind of like what you say, the Stockholm syndrome, where you identify with your kidnapper. it's a mental projection, Stockholm syndrome, where we identify with the serial killers, the murderers, the people with ill intentions. We co-sign on that, and you look at what's happening now with the murders pretty much every week. Every other day, I'm opening up the website, and you see articles talking about, oh, police staved off this shooter. Now, I'm not going to go there where they was talking about, remember they was talking about the rappers and how those rappers and their violent lyrics, y'all remember that? Those rappers and those violent lyrics that made young black men like myself at the time want to go out and murder people. I mean, that's what they said. I listen to the music, I like the music, but I forgot to go out and murder people. Because it just, no, that's just a record. Didn't affect me like that. Didn't really think, nah, yeah, I want to go out and kill somebody that looks like me because I heard the record about killing some people that look like me. Nope. But then I beg the question. And maybe I'm contradicting myself. We have a steady proliferation of movies that highlight the virtue of people who kill people. They're looked at in a heroic light. And so conversely, we see all these young men, these young white men, by the way, which most people know, but they watch society and the hero worship that goes with serial killers, bad guys in particular in comic book films, whatnot, or any film. That bad guy is, that villain is not vilified. He's not frowned upon. He's not looked at as the terrible, atrocious human being, creature that they are. No, they're healed. They're worshipped. They're made to look and feel good and comfortable. And so, that's why I asked that question. I begged that question. Where are we going with the heroization of villains? Notorious villains, notorious bad guys. I mean, that's the question that we're asking here. Is it a valid question? Am I making sense? I can ask that. Because then, if we say, are we really hyping up and making martyrs heroes out of bad guys in movies in society, does that mean we're living in reality? Are we living in television? And does that mean that that's what's permeating our society? I don't know. I mean, it's a question that those out there listening, you have to ask yourself. What's your answer? I don't know. It's out there. And on that note, I am Mr. F the N Word, and this was another Smooth Drama production. And I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you guys
smooth.
drummer. Smooth.